Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, we're three quarters of the way through The Will of the Many.
Mm-hmm.
We've stopped at chapter 56, mm-hmm. I believe. LVI, if you will.
Ooh, I will. Why not?
But I'm going to get us warmed up, Dan.
Okay. All right, Luke.
Because I have what I think is a hot take that you're going to hate.
I love this already.
So, like, genuinely, potentially hot take.
Okay.
I'm tired of live music at restaurants.
Oh, no.
I don't want it anymore.
What are you? Okay. It sounds like you had a bad experience, Luke, and I am willing to hear you out, and I'm willing to listen.
Okay. No, it's not a specifically bad. It's not about the quality of the music at all.
Oh no.
Because like I think I probably need to walk this back some, mm-hmm. because it's kind of a right, when is it right for the moment kind of thing. And like, why do people go out to eat? And like, I could, like, if you're going out to eat,
mm-hmm.
to eat and like listen to music, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Or if you're like going out and you're like by yourself and you're like, I want to get a meal and I want something to entertain me while I'm doing that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I like to go out to like hang out with my friends and talk to them.
Yeah.
And the music, it's always too loud. And I know that makes me sound old, but I hate it.
Okay, Luke. Okay. I hear what you're saying. And I will say, I recently had an experience at a restaurant, live blues musician.
Mm-hmm.
I was 15 feet away from them. Too close. And I was also there with a friend. We could not have a conversation because it was like far too loud. The thing that was the most frustrating, all right, I'm going to quickly complain about this so you know that I've heard you. The thing that was the most upsetting about it was that this was an amplified musician. This was not somebody who was playing on an acoustic instrument. Just turn the mic, turn it down.
Yeah.
Turn your amp down. The room's not that big. The room is not big at all. Just turn it down. Okay, so Luke, I've heard you.
Mm-hmm.
You're very wrong. Because 9 times out of 10, I would much rather have a live local musician playing something than just like background, like Italian, generic Italian restaurant music on the speakers in the restaurant.
Okay. And continue.
And I say this because live music is such a rare treat. It's such a rare treat, Luke,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it. Because I was actually earlier this year thinking about the fact that like only recently has music been something that we can carry around with us and have access to on demand anytime we want it. Up until like 30 years ago, like people had to learn how to play an instrument. You had to like hire a band. Maybe not 30 years ago, maybe more like 50 years ago, but you had to hire people to come play if you wanted to hear music. Like it was hard to get music everywhere unless you just carried the music in your heart and in your soul. Like we still do. We've just trapped it now in these very particular electronic forms. And to have somebody like releasing the music that's in their heart out in person for you is such a gift, Luke. It's such a gift. And to squander it by saying it's too loud, I think you have to take the too loud as just the damage, the little bit of damage to accept that that's what it's going to be like.
I hear you.
Uh-huh.
And here's, okay, my thing also is like almost always there's an amplifier.
100%, yes.
And it's not needed.
Correct. Now, here is where we agree.
Like, I'm thrilled, okay? I will rescind this fully if it's like a few people with an acoustic guitar and they're like singing at a reasonable volume without microphones.
Right.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You bring the mics and the amps in and it's like, now I'm at your show. I didn't sign up to be at your show.
Yes. Yes, yes. Now, Luke, keep going. Yeah, keep going.
And it's like, I think it's also a timing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were like, okay, after 8 p.m.,
yes, okay,
we bring in the loud music. That's fine, mm-hmm, okay? Like, I get that because it's turned into, like, a different thing. But if it's, like, 6 p.m. and I'm out dinner and I'm, like, catching up with a friend, it's like, okay, this is a different thing than I was expecting it to. And, mm-hmm, like, do I leave? Because, like... I love to go out to eat, but like a lot of times I'm not there like for the food. Mm-hmm. I'm there to hang out with my buddy.
Right. Right.
Or my buddies.
There's like a lower bar that's like, if the restaurant is better than this quality, you're going to go because it's like, it's going to be fine, but you really, it's just a socializing opportunity. Luke, right, as we've been discussing this, I've realized something. And that is that this music is not for us.
Okay.
Luke, of the age generational demographics of people, who are the most likely to go out to eat a lot and have money?
Boomers.
Boomers. Coincidentally, also people most likely to hate their spouses. So if you are going to go out to dinner with your spouse and you don't want to speak to them, loud live music is the perfect excuse, Luke.
Yes.
This is who this is for. The restaurant's like, we got to get the boomers over here because they buy all the apps. They're getting dessert. They're buying drinks. And we need something. We need some cover. We need to give them some cover so they're not passive aggressively sniping at each other for the entire dinner.
This is correct.
It's making the servers uncomfortable.
Yes, I can see that. And I will acknowledge, again, I open this, like, I genuinely think this is a hot take,
mm-hmm,
and that I'm, like, wrong for most people.
And that's what makes it
like,
hot.
Because I think it's, like, it's a financial success, right? Generally, like, it brings people to the restaurant, I think.
Well, except you, I'm hearing.
Except for me, sure, but...
But yeah, definitely.
But most people prefer, if it's like, oh, this place has live music on Thursday nights, I'm going to go to that.
Yeah.
Is maybe what, but like, I'm, so again, I'm acknowledging that I'm in the minority here.
Yeah.
But like, just tone it down, because I agree with you that it's cooler to have someone or multiple people up there playing their music, just no amps or mics. That's all.
Luke's got a no amp rule. He sees that a restaurant's having live music and he calls ahead before he makes the reservation and is like, hey, are there going to be, what kind of a band is coming?
Yeah.
We talking like, what era of John Mayer is going to be performing?
Exactly.
He's got to know. Okay, Luke, I do still think that's a hot take, but I hear you. I hear you and I acknowledge you, but I do not accept you.
You know what? Thank you. I appreciate that. That's all I can ask for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Luke, let's talk book. Let's talk about another case of somebody not being fully accepted but acknowledged. Viz.
Great, phenomenal transition.
Thank you.
And a great summary of the story. Okay, we're talking Will the Mini up to chapter 56.
Luke, can we start off with something kind of big, but that we find out very quickly at the beginning of this section?
Okay.
Ray Lucia can't be the other lady too, right? Like, this is not, okay, this can't be how it works.
So my first note is also about this and was just being like, oh, this took me genuinely 100% by surprise.
Yeah, for sure. Because it just can't be, right? Like, it just can't, that's not. That can't be how this works, guys. Come on. Come on now.
She's away for work a lot, Dan.
Right, but like, you don't check up on your spouse? You aren't like, hey, I already don't trust you because nobody trusts anybody in this thing. And she's closest to me. So she has the most, I'm most vulnerable around her. And I've told my adopted son, don't trust her, only trust this other lady. And yet she is the leader of the like resistance movement against the whole society. And I don't know. I have no inkling at all of this.
Yeah.
This cannot be. There is an identical twin situation or something, right?
Just because like he would have figured it out, you mean? Well, Siskor or whatever his name is.
Yes.
Our father.
He has to know. He has to know.
I
think of all the ways he has to know, even that we've seen in this book, right? They're going on a train. He got on the train at the very last minute, and suddenly they explode it and capture him and his new adopted son.
Right.
Who knows about these things? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you warned your wife about it before you left. Maybe, like, what?
I'd like to think that this is similar to what you said about older couples that don't talk, where he's always like, yeah, she's away for work a lot most of the time. I don't know what she does though.
I don't know what she does or where she goes, and she doesn't know about what I'm doing either. And that's the way we like it. What?
Also, I mean, for this some is reason, an example. This is like we have heard and seen that like the marriages are not necessarily affection based. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
And look, so maybe they're like, we signed some papers and like, I don't really want to see you again after that.
Right. But she lives in your house. She has access to all of your shit all the time, legally. Like, Viz tailed her for like 20 minutes and found out some heinous shit.
Yeah. Some real heinous shit.
You're married to her. What are we doing? This can't be. It is breaking my sense of immersion. The amount of he has to know.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's too much. There's got to be a twin.
Because you're a really good actor, Dan.
This also took me completely by surprise, which doesn't happen that often.
Not to brag.
Oh.
I was quite shocked. I'm willing to accept it though. I know you're not. I'll take it.
Do you buy her explanation that this was all part of the plan?
This being what?
That when they were murdering a bunch of people in the arena, that Viz would have the bravery or stupidity to run back in there and confront.
Yeah, we believe this. We talked about this last episode.
Yeah, but when she says it, I'm less inclined to believe her. I feel like she's just doing it for aura.
Yeah. We agreed last episode that they wanted this to happen.
Yeah, but now that she said that was their plan all along, I feel like it's just for aura. She's saying it now.
You've become negatively polarized against anything that she says.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good. I love that. I actually maybe we should say this now, okay?
Yeah.
Because I have she and her group, the Anguis or something?
Yeah.
Make this argument that is essentially the name of the book, right? The Will of the Many.
Yes.
That like it's actually not only the people at the top that are to blame, but all of the lowest citizens are to blame as well.
Yes.
And so that's why they're like very comfortable with all the terrorist actions that they've been taking.
Yes.
And the like super hardcore stuff. And like, I'm just totally unconvinced by this argument and I don't like it.
I'm going to give it a little bit more like detail here because I feel like it's important. Because okay. I agree with you, Luke, but I feel like we need to give it its sort of best case to tear down. And so okay. what she says is that like people are greedy and lazy. And so like they're complacent because they're fearful of what not consenting would look like. Mm-hmm. And they're hopeful that maybe they can move up. Maybe they can be they can become the oppressors if they continue in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody is sort of like their complacency is one of these two categories. And I think that's bullshit. And all Viz has to do is like turn around and show her his back and be like, they literally beat me because yeah. I didn't want to give Will. So
right.
like, what do you want these people to do? Just like take constant beatings?
Well, also like you can't just say things. You know, like, oh, it's because they all think that they can rise up and become the oppressors.
You're saying no? It's polling data.
Like, what are you talking about? Where did you learn that? That's not I don't know if that's motivating them. You can't just say a thing that supports your argument and be like, that's how I justify murdering thousands of people at a time.
And I think too, Luke, as we are sort of unpacking this, it's almost unfortunate. Like I kind of wish that their argument was a little bit better for this because, and I think you could make an argument that is better for this. The argument you could make is like, yes, this is wrong, but in the greater good, like people in these positions will be much better off if we destroy the hierarchy. And so like basically the greater good. Argument for the greater good. But instead, we get to see Viz and all his friends go to Sus that's been recently conquered and see a guy who is an Octavi and hates the hierarchy and is like, get the fuck out of my restaurant. Like, I'm not serving you. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want to be a part of it, but he still is like oppressed by this system. And like,
and we see when he does this, they are planning to punish him.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, like this, you just like murdering people. You just want to be able to kill anybody you want with no consequence. You don't want to have to take the karmic damage. You don't want to have right. to take on the burden of, yes, this is a wrong act and I'm doing something that is wrong for a greater purpose that is better. But you just don't want to take on that psychic damage. And so instead, you're trying to justify every murder that you're doing.
Yeah. And okay. And then the other argument that I was going to make is that like the terrible things that the hierarchy does.
Yeah.
Like the negative aspects of it are not related to Will. At all. Like, and for like external effects, okay? For like when we see them conquer Sus,
uh-huh.
and they like kill the royal family.
Yeah.
Bad, okay?
Sure.
But that's like normal empire shit.
Yeah, right. That happens without Will being a factor.
Yeah. The like reason that the hierarchy needs to be taken down is because they subjugate people by stealing their will. And the victims of that specifically are the Octavi. And so like, if you're like, I'm really anti the hierarchy more than I'm anti any other empire, it's because you were doing it on behalf of the Octavi.
Right.
Because like, that's who the empire is oppressing in their specific badness.
Right. Right. It just doesn't really make sense to have a communist revolution where you kill all the workers, you know?
Very true.
Anyway.
So like this idea that that the Octavi are actually deserving of this fate is dumb. And like To me, so far, the villains have been, what's her name? Relucia?
Yeah, Relucia is her, like, hierarchy name. I don't remember the other one. They're just terrorists. Like, they're not even...
Yeah.
This is just a terrorist organization that now Viz is like, fuck, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? Because these guys suck.
Right.
And they keep but trying like, to talk Viz me is into not, it.
Like, I think I got a little bit frustrated because Viz seems to be acquiescing to this argument.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's not on their side because, like, he recognizes that that's bad. But he's not, like, pushing back against the argument.
Well... Okay, I'm going to move us a little bit to the end of this section with this because I think there's a clear reason why he's not pushing back against this argument. And it kind of struck me when he was back at his like family's house.
Okay.
I just like, "Oh, like boohoo, your castle looks different. Sorry. You're upset that you don't your castle you lived in while you were the ruler of these people, they changed it. Oh, that's gotta be so hard for you. It's gonna be so hard for you that your castle looks different." Oh.
I was reading this with the same thought and I was trying, like, he did have his family murdered.
Sure. But. Totally sucks. But also he was the ruling class of this society. Like, he was the one in charge. There was probably a higher... What am I talking about? He lived in a palace. There was a hierarchy established on this island.
Right.
He had servants and tutors. Did every single child who was born on this island have access to tutors and servants and all this shit? No! And he goes back to the island and he's like, "Man, I wish I could see our people sort of rebelling against this hierarchy right now. I wish I could see them as like repping the old hierarchy. I wish they were repping my family still as their rulers."
Okay, so this point, like,
but I think this goes back to why he is willing to sort of buy into this argument, because I think he has a conception about like average people as just like subjects.
Well, okay, I definitely think he has a like these people are different from these people inherently kind of view. Where, because like there's a couple times where he's talking about his subjects, I'll call it them again.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're a lively people.
Uh-huh.
And like not anymore because they have to give will. Which again, yeah, taking people's will is bad.
Right.
But and it seems like he's like, my people don't deserve this, but the Catanon people do.
Right.
Kind of.
He seems to assume that it's worse for his people because his people are suffering more under the hierarchy. Right. Whereas people who are born into it are sort of like asking for it in a way, or like used to it in a way.
Right. Which he hasn't made explicit.
Right.
But that's the argument of the terrorist organization, essentially. And I think he implicitly agrees with it.
Yeah. He's definitely a little sympathetic to their argument for that reason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really was. Well, the problem was that I was getting a little bit frustrated with him before we went to Sus.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to decide, because I was having the same thought as you, where I was like, "Oh, you're being a baby."
Yeah.
But I was like, am I doing this because I'm already frustrated with him?
Mm-hmm.
Because like I don't want to be unfair. He was his family was murdered.
For sure. Terrible. Tragic. I just feel like the things he was upset about of like change, and like, I get
like
it was
them, like them roasting the fish instead of
yeah, like
cooking it correctly.
Like, dude, imagine if you were just a townsperson who lived there after the occupation and now they're like you're watching this happen in real time, and also they're oppressing you and forcing you to take part in it. Like,
right,
you got to leave. And also, you were at the top before. You got to, like, benefit from all of it.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, but his dad was a really good king.
Dang. Well, yeah, he was one of the good ones, sure.
He was one of the good ones. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. He listened to people in his throne room.
Yeah, in his giant throne room. He used to walk down into town and see how everybody was doing. Oh, cool.
You just don't get it.
Yeah, clearly not.
Okay. We've done big stuff and moved to the end, but I want to do something early and small.
Yeah.
To get us back on track. So he explores these new ruins.
Yep, the newins, as we call them.
That's right. He comes up with this cool plan.
Mm. A very heist. He gets
help.
Very much a heist.
Yeah. It's more of a heist. And he gets help by making these cuffs that like are attached to each other, these magnets.
Mm-hmm.
Super small again. But at the end of this stretch, he like makes it and he's just about to activate them. And then he drops it in the ocean and he has to swim down to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
I just like, what was the point of this? Why? I know that this is a dumb thing to talk about.
Yeah.
But to the author, why did you make me stress out about this for like one more page?
He loves it. The author loves making you stress out a little bit.
Yeah. And it's like, I was stressed about the whole thing because he was like on a time crunch and then he's like doing a cook fire or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, we're really on a time crunch here. And then then we're there and I'm ready and he drops it and I panic for like another 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Stop it. I don't need that.
Luke was not having it. I kind of liked it, honestly.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was like the climactic moment. It's a classic trope, right? He had to drop it. He was worried about dropping it before. Of course he had to drop it.
Got to drop it.
I do think it sort of is undermined by his plan to cook some fish.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You have time to make a campfire. Get some berries and leaves or something. Get something you can eat on the run.
Well, he didn't even eat it. So, like, if it was like, I have a triathlon to mm-hmm. get to this place, mm-hmm. so I need fuel. But he didn't.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't eat it.
No. He fed it to a dog.
Which,
of course, is not going to come back later.
Which I was going to... My note about the dog is some obvious foreshadowing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it doesn't come back, I'm going to do the same thing about the cuff, where it's like, why is this here?
It has to come back, Luke, because it's an intelligent wolf pup.
That's right.
That is big. It's got, you know, this is a cool ally. It has to.
Is it coming back in this book though?
I'm gonna be so mad if it doesn't.
Well, because the problem is it's a puppy, right? So like my guess is that like the mom of this puppy is gonna somehow help him.
Okay,
and
could
we're gonna
be.
Skip over how it was communicated to the mom, but that's my theory.
Yeah, definitely going to help him in a situation where he's trying to escape from some of the praetors when he's out investigating some ruins, and like a wolf pack's going to help him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it has to come back in this book, though, because otherwise, can you imagine in another book, they're like, hey, you remember that like 2-page scene where he helped a wolf that one time? Oh, that wolf's back. How cool is that?
Yeah.
No way. Gotta come back here.
All right, coming back here. All
right, I've got a small thing.
Yeah.
We're trying to rise up. We're trying to get to class 5, right?
Uh-huh.
And we agree to a duel.
Yes, I have a note on the duel as well.
You're telling me, Luke, that with like 4 total hours of practice time, Viz is able to duel as effectively in a suit of armor that operates 15 feet away from where his body currently is.
Yeah.
4 hours of practice? Do you know how hard this would be, Luke, to learn how to do this?
Can I do my note?
Okay. Give your note, and then we have to pop off on
talk about
this.
The dueling. Okay, the dueling mechanism. What the fuck is this? What are you talking? What is why? This is stupid.
Go off.
Why are we doing? I don't even know if I fully understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they put on some wooden armor.
Yes.
That is well locked to real armor.
Yes.
That is. But then, like, and so they fight each other, but they don't actually fight like each other. They fight. Well, okay. Hang on. Because initially I was like, oh, okay, I guess they are still fighting each other like face to face. It's just that like the real weapons are to the side,
mm-hmm.
but they're not actually face to face.
Aren't they?
They're like, I don't think so.
Oh, no. You're right. They're like stepped off. They're like at an angle to each other.
Right. So they're not actually like blocking each other's swords.
Right. Well,
why?
Well, they are. They're like, okay. My understanding of this is they do this because of their supposed interest in like preserving the lives of everyone. And it's dangerous to have two people fighting with real swords. So instead, each person gets a suit of armor that's like 15 feet in front of them. And they make the motions for that suit of armor to fight the other person's suit of armor that's also 15 feet in front of them. So everybody's right. like really 30 feet away from each other as they're like
right.
going back and forth with this. And my understanding of this is like it's sort of in line with their like preservation of life philosophy.
Okay, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But like there are other solutions.
Yeah. Luke, like what? Like what?
Like you're doing it with a practice sword or like just don't use a sharp sword.
Not cool though, Luke. That's not cool.
And then like we've completely changed the game, okay? Because now, like, it's not a normal like this has no bearing on what would happen in a real fight because like the depth perception is completely different. The move set is completely different because we can't turn around. Like we have to be facing this way now.
Oh, you're so right. Okay. So now we're getting into my note here, which is like, this would be so hard to learn. This would be so hard to learn if you had never done it before, because trying to gauge how close your armor is to somebody else's armor is so, from 15 feet away is so hard to do. Compared to like just you reaching out your arm and hitting someone.
Right.
Like Viz is constantly, I don't buy that Viz picks this up right away. I imagine Viz constantly thinking he's about to stab the other armor and it's like actually 2 feet behind the other suit of armor that he's right. like, oh, I got the angles wrong. Hang on. I got to move a little bit.
It would be so hard. It would be insane.
The level of genius that we're ascribing to Viz for picking this up, like I get that he's a good swordsman. I get that.
Yeah.
And it would be completely different if when you put the helmet on, your vision was out of the eyes of the armor.
Sure.
That's not how it works.
Just like even setting aside the vision thing, like the instincts of it, of like you're blocking a sword that's not there.
Yes.
But it's the full weight of it is going to hit you. And so it's like, it's very hard to even gauge like how hard to block. It's impossible. It's not impossible, I should say. Okay. It's very difficult to learn.
It's so
and
hard.
And it's dumb that they do it this way. And I don't like it.
It is very silly. I will say for an actual, so the people who do it this way, because he is in fights. He's in a lot of fights the normal way.
Yeah.
Clearly they're doing this because they value the upper crust of this society way more, and they don't want them to get injured, right?
Sure.
But they also want to give them a cool fight opportunity. Also, Luke, imagine using this in a real war situation. This is horrific. This sucks if I have to fight one of these guys.
You mean if you're on the receiving end?
Yeah, I'm forming like a shield wall. I'm getting ready to like attack an oncoming army. And the army is just a bunch of dudes like 15 feet back from the front lines eating a sandwich while they're like swiping at me with their swords. Because they can't even get hurt.
I don't think it's going to be effective in battle, though.
But you don't have to be a duelist in battle. You just need a big hammer or something. Like you don't need the finesse in battle. In battle, you just don't want to get stabbed.
Right.
Cover it. Okay, Luke, hold on. In battle, this thing is covered in spikes. This thing is covered in spikes and poison. And I just run it into you. I just give you a big hug in battle.
Sure. I do think there are probably ways to make it effective in battle. But it comes down to all of the like will transference equations that they're learning.
Mm.
Like, can they just make it really big, right?
Make like a big mecha robot that goes into battle.
Exactly.
That's just a massive version. That's so smart. Wow.
And no one has ever thought of this before. You could even have them like housed inside of it, like maybe in the chest or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or right? So you get the vision thing.
And then you could have like one person operating each of the limbs and it could like come together to make an even bigger one.
Right, and everyone's like a different color, but then when it combines,
Oh, this is so sick, Luke.
That'd be cool.
Somebody should do
that. But it's don't use it for a duel, though, okay? No. That's the one thing you can't use it for. Okay, wait, did we finish, or did I take over too much? What was your point again?
No, we finished. This is exactly my point, Luke.
Okay. Good. He's making moves, though. Finally.
He is finally making moves. I will say he's a little hasty still.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that this is a continuation of his hastiness in backing up his nerdy friend from the beginning.
Okay.
So he learns from Eden that he was on a sapper.
Yeah.
And he learned it because he killed 3 Praetorians. And he's like, I don't care. I don't care what you did. You're my friend. Mm-hmm. Details, bud. You got to get some details here because it's one thing if he killed them in like self-defense or because they were going to like attack an innocent or.
Sure.
It's another if he was just like, yeah, I think the Catanic race is inferior. And so I crept into their houses at night and I murdered them.
Right.
It's like, I didn't realize you were racist, buddy. I thought we were all having fun about how stupid the hierarchy was. I didn't realize you thought that they were an inferior race.
Yeah, I do think that because of Aiden's like surliness, he doesn't follow up with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But you got to get to know your friend a little bit.
Yeah, have a conversation. Like, him not talking is not an excuse to fill in the blanks with, like, the best possible character that you can imagine for this guy. Just because he doesn't turn you over to them. Listen, there's a lot of white supremacists in prison who hate authority, okay? So,
yeah.
Just because he hates authority, that potentially a big red flag, depending. But anyway, I think just a few more details. I'm not going to say that this is a problem because the vibes are good, right? The vibes seem good.
You're not accusing him of anything. You're just saying trust but verify. Is that your point?
I'm just saying like murder is kind of a big deal and get a little bit more info.
Yeah. He is quite trusting.
Yeah. In a weird way, he's not, though, because he suspects literally everyone else is lying to him.
Right.
He suspects, like, everyone else is way smarter than him and is a perfect actor that is lying but trying to figure out the angle. Like, anytime he talks to an adult, he's like, they know they're just a way better actor than I thought.
Right. And he's still, even though he's into this girl, he still mistrusts her a bit. What's her name?
Emrys,
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I guess that's also partially because his father is kind of weird about things.
Yes, that. I mean, both of his fathers sounds like we're kind of weird. Because, like, hey, bud, you're not a king anymore. You don't have to worry about, like, your lineage or that you're marrying into, I don't know, an important family line.
Right.
But also, Luke, sometimes I've been getting frustrated with him for not telling other, like, his friends his deal.
Mm.
But I think that it... I feel like it sort of makes sense why he doesn't still.
I agree. I think it's normal for him not to have told people yet.
Okay. Cause and part of this is like people are revealing a lot of compromising information about themselves to him.
Yeah.
Which makes it seem like, you know, maybe he should trust them too. But I feel like it's one thing to tell them something like that. And it's another thing to be like, I'm actually trying to undermine your society from within. Like your entire... your entire society.
Yeah, I think his is like on a different order of magnitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't really blame him. Can I blast Viz for one more thing?
Yeah, do it.
We're this is kind of a rough sode for our guy.
Yeah.
This one might be something, I don't know if you're gonna agree with me on it or not. And I think I may have said this point before on the pod, but there's a moment here where he's talking about his experience. I think it's in class four.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the different people and he's like, you know, obviously they're really smart, like kind of on the level that he is, but he notes that they still like travel or they like form their opinions together and are like kind of have some motivated thinking,
right? Like military, religion and governance, those cohorts still kind of agree with each other. Yeah.
And he talks about in like when they do debates,
yeah
like certain people will always agree with each other, or at least most of the time agree with each other.
Yes.
And he kind of says, I'm gonna paraphrase it, but basically like that's clearly they're not actually being honest about their views. And he says that like he keeps it like purely intellectual. And so he's like on one person's side in one debate or another person's side in another debate and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And like that's a common view of how it like of like a correct way to think. And I think it's dumb.
Say more.
Because I think that like certain people are different from other people and similar to other people. Mm. And so like people that think in one way are going to agree on a lot of things. Right?
You're saying,
and it's actually very strange if your political opinions are just like completely random. Like that is odd.
Right, like it's almost like there is an underlying theory or philosophy that these people who tend to agree with each other subscribe to, and
right,
our boy is just sort of like bouncing around arbitrarily.
Right, like they are actually the ones, I mean, maybe I'm ascribing too much to them, but like they are, if a group of people are consistently in agreement with each other and in disagreement with another group, then like, yeah, there's probably some like, I don't know, like values that one group shares that the other group does not, and vice versa.
Correct. It's almost like in a debate, the reason why it's an argument is because there's no obvious correct answer. And you're trying to investigate it from your perspective.
Right. And people of a certain, my main point though, is that like people of a certain persuasion will tend to agree with each other more, and that's normal.
For sure. It's almost like these are political parties.
Exactly.
Huh. Meanwhile, we got Viz over here, the libertarian, who's just like screaming at everybody.
Viz is like, I actually do my own research, and I think that this side is right on this issue, and this side is right on the other issue, and that actually makes me smarter mm-hmm. than you guys.
Exactly. He's an independent voter.
I'm an independent voter, which is, I make up my own mind.
Yeah, we love that. We love that.
We do.
Luke, I am still a little confused about the mechanics of this. How does graduation work from this school? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Okay, because Viz joins just at a random point in the school year, like at the middle of a third trimester or whatever.
Right.
And he just moves up like classes based on his abilities. It's not like they have a, this is coming from an educator, Luke. If I'm teaching a class of students, I have a curriculum that we're following.
Right.
You cannot join me halfway through my curriculum and be like, all right, where are we at? Because that's the point of that's why I need students in my class for a whole period of time, because we're building to something. I'm not just giving them random information. This isn't training like they're doing, where they just are reading one thing and then sparring. And like, I'm teaching you a theory. I'm teaching you a bigger thing here.
So the problem is that it's very unclear what the purpose of this school is.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the way that you're describing a school, which I agree with, is like the purpose is to educate.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the purpose of this school, though.
I think you're right. We did touch on this a little bit in the last episode, but I think you're right.
The purpose of this school is to rank people.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, that's true. It's just one big SAT.
Right.
Except way worse. So then, like, how do you graduate? Like, you don't, it's clear you don't graduate when you get to the third class, because not everybody gets there.
It's a time thing.
Is it just you've been in the school for so many trimesters?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
It's like every year, I think. You go to school for a year.
For one year?
That's what it seems like, right?
This is crazy. Okay, then yeah, this is for sure what it is. It's just a big test for a year. That's exactly what it is. You're right, Luke. This is not an educational institution. This is an assessment. No. This is a big assessment. Ugh. That sucks.
It's very strange, though. It's like, clearly, when you think about it for a little bit, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But they're not like super open about it, and they're not super efficient at how they do it, because no. Like, they just have people that are clearly cheating. but yeah, that's
right. It's like, if your goal is to mimic the society at large, why even have the university? Like, what if your goal is to be like, this is just like it is out there, like just let them be out there. That's the same. It achieves the same goal.
Right.
I guess it doesn't let the people in power like boost their children as much, but I don't know. Also, Luke, is there a class 2 or 1? Why do we end at class 3? This is bothering me.
This confused me at the beginning of the book, where everyone kept saying they were in class 3, and I was like, oh, yeah, what about the top people? But I don't know why it's three.
Because I guess there's how many people in class three? Four in class three?
Yes, I think so.
I mean, we got space, guys.
I feel like there's maybe a quick, like a playoffs at the end.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. And that's how because they ultimately determine the overall winner, right?
Yes, they do.
And so each class gets halved.
Mm-hmm.
And so my guess is that at the end, there's some kind of tournament or something.
Maybe they I don't know, take them to a labyrinth where there's a death machine that's trying to kill them as right. They run through it.
Yeah, that could be a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, so it's crazy that most of these people die, right?
And that nobody knows that? Yeah. How?
It just happens, though, Dan. It just happens.
I guess they don't have a free press, Luke.
So, okay, hang on. Because what we learn is that, like, this is somewhat recent, right?
The labyrinth thing?
The frequent deaths.
Yes.
What we learn is that, like, he says something crazy, like, 10 people from class three have died in the last like 3 years.
I can't remember if it was that high, but it was definitely like at least one person a year.
Which is, it's like out of four people?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's a 25% go.
And then like, let's go back and like our family has all this shame because Karor, or I forget his name, but the younger son committed suicide.
Allegedly.
And is no one like, hang on. Why are so many people died about that? And this guy, I don't know. I'm not, it seems very easy to call BS.
Do you think they're using suicide here, Luke? Like, do you think that this society, any sort of suspicious death of an upper level person, the society is like, no, it's got to be suicide. Trust me. Suicide. Don't talk about it. Don't tell anyone about it. You need to be ashamed of it so nobody can put two and two together of how many of these people are being killed.
Right. Maybe, honestly.
Yeah. I think that they are using it to. It's the same thing with Relucia killing whatever his name was, Feror? Feric? Yeah. So that Viz could move up?
Yeah. I'm curious what the investigation is.
Yeah, I don't know what the investigation was like, Luke, but clearly not comprehensive. Okay, we didn't have our best people working on it, I'll say that.
No, certainly not.
Another small thing here, Luke. Why do we have a god for keys and doors?
Wait, say it again?
Why do we have a god for keys and doors?
I didn't notice this.
Stop it, guys. I get having one for like agriculture and war and metallurgy. Keys and doors? Stop it. That's not real. What does that mean? Does that mean you pray to the god that your key works when you try it? Do you pray that your door was locked? Is that what it is? You like go out of your house and you're like, did I lock the front door? And you throw up a quick prayer to the keys and doors god?
I would not have thought of the mechanics of this, but it's a good question.
Who out there is like, yeah, I've recently joined a new religious order. It's really spoken to me in my like life and the time when I needed it to. It's the god of keys and doors. It's just, you know, what did they say? When one door is closed, another one's opened with a key, probably. So it's only thieves that pray to this god, right?
Gotta be. Yeah.
It's only burglars that are praying to the god of keys and doors. Like, come on, let this work. Like fiddling around with a lockpick.
Or it was specifically formed in opposition to the Thieves Guild or something like
that. Okay. It was like, they were like, hey guys, the thieves have a god that they pray to. To let them into our houses at night. We gotta get a counter god going on. That's
keys and doors.
In the pantheon, we need a god that's fighting against the god of thievery.
Right. I love it. I missed this, honestly.
Yeah, but I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go.
I'm into it. I want to hear about all of their gods, actually, now.
I don't. I heard keys and doors, and I was like, this society needs to collapse. It was giving me poetry vibes from the last book we read, where I was like, this is too much, guys.
I agree. This is that's the main thing that the society has done wrong.
Yeah. Religion's gone too far, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, some intern was like, went up to his boss one day and was like, I just had the best idea for a new god. And the boss was like, okay, yeah, it's been getting a little stale recently. We could really like revitalize this whole society with a new god for people to get excited about. What do you got for us?
And that'd be really exciting.
Intern's like, well, I was just like walking into work today and pulled out my key ring. I heard the little jangle and I was like, wait a minute. Wait a second. Meanwhile, his boss is like, you didn't have anything for our meeting today, did you? And he was like, no, I did not. Well, we got to ship it, so.
Got to. Got a deadline.
Luke, I have a theory for us.
Okay.
My theory has to do with Viz.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember at the very beginning of this book, Viz commented on the fact that his partner, when they were keeping track of the people in the sappers, was deteriorating? And he said that people who worked with the sappers tended to deteriorate more quickly.
Yeah.
And how Viz thought that he was not succumbing to this deterioration.
Yes.
Viz has succumbed to this deterioration, Luke.
Oh, no. It's memory loss specifically, though, right?
Memory loss, yes, exactly. And like specific memories are gone, like short-term memory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one, we hit upon this last time a little bit. You don't touch the bronze. You don't touch anything in this weird place. How did that happen? Okay, that was what clued me into this. But then, Luke, why did Viz do the train heist?
You mean to explore the other ruins?
Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute. He wanted to go explore some ruins?
That's right.
Sorry, had he never done that before?
We have seen some ruins.
Ah, so he had successfully explored some ruins before. And presumably he's only going to get better at sneaking out to go explore these ruins.
Right.
What? Do you not remember that you can just hop the fence?
Wait, these are different ruins, though.
Okay, they're on the same island, right?
Yes. I don't know the geography of the island, though. I feel like, wasn't this like the only way he could get to it or something?
Now,
maybe I'm filling in the blanks because I'm assuming that has to be the case.
And this is exactly what Viz is doing, Luke. He has forgotten that he's done this before and is filling in the blanks for why he needs to do this thing. Meanwhile, his new papa is like, this sounds dope as shit. So yeah, I'll do whatever you want.
That sounds like it'd make a great Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah. So yeah. But like, just sneak out again. It's before the term even starts. Like, just, you can come back. Sneak out again. Now, maybe he's worried about them noticing that he's missing.
Yeah.
Put a little dummy in your bed or something. I don't know.
Yeah, a couple pillows bundled up under the sheets.
Something like that. But, okay, that's one part of this theory, Luke.
Okay.
The next part. Viz is terrified of what will happen if Relucia tells everybody who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's also terrified what'll happen if he doesn't succeed in this school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he forget what his like original plan was? Just dip.
Honestly, I forget.
Just dip. Oh. You just needed enough money to dip. You have it. I guarantee you have the funds to dip entirely right now.
Right.
Literally dip and never come back.
Well, there's some times where, like, his dad is like, if you don't do this, I'm going to put you in a sapper.
Yeah.
I'd like, are you, is there not a, there's got to be a way to not have that happen.
I'm out. He had a plan before. His plan was like, I'm getting enough money so I can go to this island.
Right.
You have enough money now.
Yeah, for sure.
Just go. Just go. Change your name again. Cut your hair. Yep. Grow out a beard.
Yep.
Go. No one's going to know. No one will know where to look for you.
Well, even now, actually, this is the perfect time because, I tried to do the labyrinth thingy and it, like, murdered me to the point where there was, like, nothing left of me.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's bring a little bracer down into the spooky labyrinth. Yep. Cut yourself a little bit, put some of your blood on the bracer, throw it into the labyrinth and go.
And then ride your wolf away.
You're free. You're free. Did you forget? He forgot.
It does seem like it.
He forgot, yeah. Luke. And yeah. The thing that brought this up for me is as soon as my new papa is like, hey, you're not doing good enough and I'm going to put you in a fucking sapper unless you do better for me. I'm like, okay, any semblance of civility is gone now. Like, I'm no longer helping you anymore.
Yeah. I'm immediately making plans. The only thing you can do is immediately make plans to never see this person again.
Right, to dip. To completely dip out.
Yeah.
And he forgot.
I think you think it's a memory thing? I think it's a lifestyle creep.
Okay.
You gotta be wary of lifestyle creep.
This is so true. This is so true. This is why tithing is so important. Anyway. I think you're right, Luke. I think it might be lifestyle creep, but it also just seems like he forgot.
Could be just forgetting.
He forgot who he was. It's too bad. It's too bad. Keep an eye out for more of this, Luke, because I have a feeling like this isn't going to be the only thing that Viz forgets.
Yeah, for sure. Like, he also forgets that he's in a hurry sometimes and starts cooking a quick meal on the beach.
A delicious feast.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Luke, there's got to be a few things coming back in this last quarter of the book.
Yeah.
Wolfie's got to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're going to get another cooking mama scene where he has to cook a fish, right? Maybe he's going to forget something else. Keep an eye out for forgetful Viz.
Definitely.
It's a new theory we're working on. But anyway, we'll be sure to remember to be back next week bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.